All right, hey guys, what's up? We're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know. Today is Tuesday, so we're going live on Twitter. You can catch us live on Twitter every Tuesday. That's at Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
I'm William, the Opinion Updike.
I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are here today to talk about the crushing defeat to the Pelicans last night. Close game, couldn't close it out, 121-117. We're going to get into a recap of that game, and then we're going to do our regular Tuesday segment, which is Twitter Tuesdays. If you guys are tuning in on Twitter Live, be sure to get us with your questions. If you guys are unable to tune into the live stream, please tweet us
tweet
us your hot takes any time of the week. Our ears are always open, or our eyes are always open on Twitter, I guess. And then we're going to finish things up with some kind of general NBA talk and a little bit of wrap up of some last night's
We're gonna
get over some sick beats. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah. So last night was a pretty frustrating loss.
Yeah, we were. I mean, on the positive side, we were able to claw our way out of a 20-point deficit, which we haven't been able to do lately in games where we get deep behind early.
For sure. We did lose 121-117. Some quick stats for you guys. Trez led the Clippers with a fantastic game. He had 26 and 10. Gallo had 25. Tobias had a quiet 21, which we'll get into later. Lou had 18 on horrific 6 of 19 shooting. And Beverly added 7 assists and 11 boards from the bench.
Yeah, I think he also had 5 assists. Let me double check that. He had 7 assists.
Yeah.
Which is great. We've recently been talking about, I feel like I always kind of get down on Patrick Beverly as a playmaker.
For sure.
He definitely showed out last night. I don't see why he's not working our way into his starting lineup, but we can talk on that later.
Oh, yeah. And then for the Pelicans, they had a man named Anthony Davis play basketball for them. I couldn't tell you. He had 46 and 16. He went 12 of 12 from the line. Julius Randle had 27. Drew Holiday had 19, 5, and 8. I'm convinced that this game was a run. It's going to start a run for Anthony Davis that's going to make him just like truly unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like this was the type of game. I was listening to the game on the radio, which if you haven't done, I suggest doing. It's a very weird experience. But him going 12 of 12 for the line, he hit 4 free throws down late.
Yeah.
That just, I mean, they obviously beat us. But they were going over his stats, and he was usually like 50-50 in these clutch situations.
Yeah.
And he just absolutely, he was untouchable last night.
Yeah. Getting a lot of comments right now on the live about needing more Ty Wallace. Couldn't agree more. He finished with a respectable stat line last night of 5 points, 5 boards, and an assist. He just looked really impactful. I feel like I say that about him all the time. The eye test looks good on the guy.
And he made a three.
And he did make a three.
Which was great.
Yeah.
So this game, I mean, we lost the second quarter 34-27.
Yes.
Which was huge. The terrifying part of this game was AD only had 4 points in the first quarter and 10 points in the second.
Yeah, and then really came unhinged in the second
really
half.
Really lost his mind in the best way possible. A good center beats us every time. Gallo gave good effort.
Yeah, so I thought Gallo had the effort there. He was doing his best to try to body AD up anytime he did end up on him on a mismatch or a switch. He's just not the defender, really, to stop AD. I mean, strength-wise, obviously
strongest player in the NBA.
Defense isn't always just about strength, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that charge, that was an insane no-call on the fourth.
Yeah. So in the fourth, Gallo took what I thought was a pretty hard charge from Anthony
Davis. Dude, he lost a tooth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize this. Gallo broke a tooth trying to defend AD.
Yeah, he was doing he was literally doing the most, but like...
You know how much force it takes to break the strongest man in the NBA?
A titanium tooth?
It's insane.
Yeah, the charge was a blatant charge.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's weird that it was a no-call. Like, he didn't even get, like, a...
There wasn't a block or there wasn't anything.
Yeah.
That was tough. At one point, so with 5 minutes left in the third, we were down 20 points, a hefty 20 points. And then we went on a pretty insane run to take a very brief one-point lead with 7 points left in the game.
Yeah.
Which was, like, encouraging. I was listening on the radio. I was going crazy in my weirdly filled out half new apartment. But then we just kind of fell into the same thing that kind of happened with the Pistons, where we would make a couple stops, but just couldn't do anything.
Couldn't do anything offensively. And that's kind of been a recurring theme that we have going on here, which is a definite bummer. What was I going to say? We did take more threes, though, which was definitely encouraging.
So I wanted to get into that. That was awesome. We shot 50% on 36 three-point attempts.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it says is just like more volume. More volume.
And we shot 47% overall. We beat them in 3-point percentage, field goal percentage, rebounds somehow, and assists. But that doesn't really matter when you turn the ball over 16 times and they turn the ball over 6 times.
John Cooperman is asking Ty and Shea to start the game or Ty and Beverly to start the game. Either way, we need Bradley off coming off the bench. Couldn't agree more.
Not going to happen, though.
It's most likely not going to happen. The only combination I would see maybe happening would be Shea and Bev, which I do think...
I would love that.
I do think he is a better complement to Shea.
Especially with his elevated playmaking recently.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been really cool. It'd be really cool to see that coming from
definitely.
Them.
I think that they can just both handle the ball a little bit better. I think there's nothing ever... no one's ever going to fault you for putting more playmakers on the floor.
That's never a bad thing.
You know, Beverly, is somewhat of a good defender. I don't know. Last night, he on his contested field goal attempts, I think he stopped zero of the contested field goal attempts that he was recorded as contesting.
Maybe not good. Going off of that Bradley stuff, so Shea had a very rough game.
Oh, yeah.
0 points, 2 assists in 13 minutes. There's been a lot of talk. Doc said in the post game, his phrasing was, "We've been patient with Shea." It feels like this may have been the last game we see Shea in the starting lineup.
Definitely.
He did say he was going to give Ty Wall some more minutes, but he also kind of reiterated about how Avery Bradley is, I don't know, great at whatever. But it seems like we're going to see more Ty and less Shea. I hope if we see Shea on the second unit, it is with Beverly.
Definitely.
Instead of Beverly and Bradley both starting again.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that'll work out. We're getting a question. Harrell had 33 minutes. Do you think we'll see that trend continue? Absolutely.
Yeah, if he's playing like this, play him for 40.
There's very limited, especially second units, that we don't see him work again, that we don't see him be very efficient against.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever see him in a starting lineup.
I'm kind of fine with.
Unless there's some sort of situation where we slot him out at the four with a larger center. And I'd like to get more into that center discussion. I feel like we talk about this every week, but I'd like to get more into that a little bit later. I do think that we'll see Trez's minutes right around the 25 to 30 minute mark most nights.
Yeah, that's exactly where I want him to. Trez showed last night was a great, he's not great at defense at all. Whoever just said that, you are wrong.
Bradley has not proven to be that great at defense consistently.
Yeah.
So.
Trez last night just permeated the rest of the team with his energy.
Yes.
He showed why he 100%. Really kind of is the true heart and soul of this team.
And Lou was having a really rough shooting night. It's great that, you know, we can rely on guys like Trez to fill that void when he doesn't have it.
And he had some weird little jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
In the first quarter, he hit a mid-range jumper, and it was what is happening? This would be amazing if he could actually get this down.
Yeah.
So Tobias... Let's kind of move into the situation. He had 21 points, which was great. He went 3 of 3 in the first quarter.
Uh-huh.
2 of 2 in the second quarter.
Yes.
2 of 2 in the third. 0 for 3 in the fourth.
Yeah, so this is just a recurring theme. Tobias tends to disappear, especially at the end of games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how much more we can beat his contract into the ground, but he's not a max guy.
Yeah. Max players don't disappear in 4-point games.
Yeah.
Straight up. They just don't. And there's a difference between disappearing and putting effort forward.
Definitely.
It just felt like he just fades into the background.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like he can grab a game, by the neck or anything like that.
Definitely. We just, sorry to segue, but we just got a question on Twitter. Why not more than 30 minutes for Trez? Honestly, just think about the Western Conference and think about the centers in a Western Conference and think about which of those centers, starting centers, Trez matches up well against.
For multiple games in a row.
And it's a pretty short short list.
Imagine going, you're playing against Karl Anthony Towns, and then a day later or maybe the next day you're playing against Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
That's just brutal for anybody, so we kind of got to spell him a little bit. It was cool that we had a big run in this game.
Yeah, definitely. Also, how dangerous is Trez with a little bit of a jump shot?
Dude, he's unstoppable.
He's getting these little 12 footers. I think he's going to be able to expand to little 15 footers.
He's unstoppable.
And I could see him maybe starting in a small ball lineup at the center if that was the case.
Small ball lineup with him at the center and then maybe, I don't know, Gallo out there.
Yeah.
Turns into a bit of a meatball lineup.
Definitely.
What other stats kind of stuck out to you in this game?
Well, there were a couple things. So we did win the rebounding battle.
By
one single board. However, we weren't really able to capitalize on any of our rebounds on the offensive end. They outscored us by 16 to 10 in terms of second chance points. They pretty much dominated us on the fast break. It was 24-16. Not a surprise. They're a team that does like to get out there in transition.
Yeah.
And in the paint, we got absolutely and completely destroyed.
Which makes
sense. That was 68-40.
Someone just brought up, you think Gortat's a better matchup than those centers? That's not what we're saying at all. You just can't play Trez. You just can't play one guy that many times.
Yeah.
Like that many minutes against the centers.
I mean, it's just...
you can't play him the whole game all week.
Yeah, A, you can't play him the whole game. And B, like, he... It's kind of like the Lou Will thing. Could Lou Will start? Is Lou Will a starting caliber guard?
Obviously.
Of course. He just works better in this role. And I think for where Trez is at right now, this is kind of going to be his role.
He's
and
an
I
don't energy think
that's,
guy.
Yeah, and that's I'm not saying anything negative about Trez. He is awesome at what he does. He is arguably in contention for Sixth Man of the Year or Most Improved Player.
Both.
And, you know, he's really great at what he does. I think he would be a starting four. As a five, it's just not that great of a match.
Yeah, and it's a nice thing, like, being an energy guy is great because you bring him off the bench to inject that energy. Starting with that energy is dope. Not everyone can do it, though.
Definitely.
He is a guy who can, but the four other guys on the court might not be able to just match that beat for beat.
And, like, I just don't see... I don't see Gortat sliding into that second unit that well.
Yeah, he's a
you know,
baby.
We just have some good chemistry going on there. I think better than our starters right now. And I don't...
For sure.
I personally don't want to... Don't want to tweak that too much.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
With the only tweak being maybe adding Beverly to the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Cooperman threw in a great question. What did we think about Doc benching Shea over Avery Bradley in the third?
It sucks.
It really sucks to me.
There's like no other way to describe it.
and I get that he's saying that they're being patient, but like saying it and actually doing it is one thing. And I understand that he has turnovers. I understand that he's like not the most efficient scorer yet. But here's the thing. This is probably the last year that we have where we can kind of try stuff out.
Yeah.
This is the last year of the like test and see what works Clippers. If we land a big free agent, the spotlight is going to be too large. The expectations are going to be too big.
He will not be starting.
He will not be starting. He will probably not even be getting solid quality minutes. So now is the time to develop him.
Unless we forget, the only reason he really did get a starting shot was because of an injury.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. It's not like he was chosen to start. It was because of an injury we started Shea, which turned out great.
Yeah.
And but now that confidence, or I guess it is confidence, belief is gone from
it's a confidence thing. It's a rhythm thing. You know, when you sit on the bench for such a long period of time and you're not used to that, it's your first year, I do think that it gets really difficult to try and find that rhythm again.
Yeah, he's already passed the amount of games he played in college all of last year, so he's definitely hitting some kind of wall right now.
We would be great energy-wise, if the Tobias cushion would embrace that they need to let loose first quarter. 100%. We did actually win the first quarter of this game, which is the first in, the last four or five games.
Yeah.
Montrez, Bev, and Lou always bring the energy. 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. And was the Tobias cushion in full effect last night?
It was 46, I think.
It was a little bit light, but they did combine for 46.
Yeah. So that's nice. Kind of a frustrating game all around. Good to see we could battle back and almost pull it out.
Yeah.
With games against the Jazz and the Warriors, this did feel like the best chance to get a win, but I think we can get a win against the Jazz.
I agree. These last two games I had kind of thought were pretty surefire wins.
Mm-hmm. So
that's been really disappointing.
Gonna
it's
have
been,
to come
been
back.
A few dark days over at the Updeck household.
Yeah. yeah, so got to get that dub against the Jazz. We'll have a preview for that tomorrow for you guys. Coming after this short break, some Twitter Tuesdays. So, big thing on Twitter that I've been seeing.
Okay.
All these people want to tank.
Yeah, they want us to tank. Just for clarification, they don't want people to tank in general.
No, no, no.
For some reason, people have it in their heads right now that the Clippers
be tanking, which doesn't make any sense.
The way we're playing right now, we might even pick our pick. I mean,
we might even still just keep
team
it
if we miss the playoffs.
The West is so good that tanking almost... I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't get you a better pick, but the West is so good that it's like, you can tank by still trying to win games almost.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we could tank our asses off for the rest of the season, and I still don't think we'd see a top five pick. And at that point, is it even worth it?
Not at all. Because one of the arguments is that, you know, a marquee free agent isn't guaranteed, which is very true.
Yes,
but
100%.
We also drafted Michael Olowokandi.
Yeah.
what superstar free agent wants to join a tanking team anyways?
100%.
Exactly. And this,
exactly.
All the rhetoric from the front office has been like, we're not tanking.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
No, that's not in our plan.
Jerry West could not wake up and look himself in the eye.
On a tanking team.
On a tanking
100%.
Team. He'd be calling in sick to work. He'd be taking a bunch of depression
Even when
naps.
The Warriors were ass. Like, they weren't trying to lose.
Yeah.
They just had young guys and couldn't win.
Also, our depth, I think, is just like who are we going to tank with? We're going to tank by starting Lou and Trez?
Yeah.
It's 100%. Still a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I like this random note about Steph's 3-point percentage.
Oh, I mean, I was going to move that to, did I put that in here? Or?
Yeah, it's still funny.
Yeah, so this per Six Stats Daily, if Steph Curry misses his next 1,000 three-point attempts, he will still have a better career three-point percentage than James Harden, which is
pretty dope.
Insane. so absurd.
Shout out to Harden, who just might get another MVP because everyone on his team is hurt.
Man, he's deserving.
So Shea's hitting the rookie wall.
Yes and no.
I think he is just fatigue-wise.
I do think fatigue is starting to set in. They've commented a couple times that he seems, even in the first, like he's, you know, he's a lot more out of breath than some of the other starters.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a difficult adjustment. And he was thrust into the starting lineup maybe a little bit too soon.
True. That's a very good point.
But now that he's here, I want him to stay.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's a wall so much as, like, he's just, I don't feel like he's getting the free rein to figure it out.
Yeah, he's not. Any mistake he makes is he's getting yelled at.
Yeah.
Something very intense is happening where a lot of other guys don't get that kind of response from Doc.
I agree.
This kid is having some serious confidence. Absolutely. And that goes into the confidence for sure. Someone has commented the kid is having serious confidence issues. It's just true.
Yeah. He looks a lot more tentative. He looks a lot more unsure of himself. And I don't necessarily think that the approach Doc is taking is the right approach.
No.
He, you know, historically has not really developed rookies that well. And it, you know, I don't know that much has changed.
Yeah, and it was so. I think what's hard too is that like we were so encouraged earlier in the season. We were playing great.
Yeah,
Shea was playing very well. He looked composed. He looked a little confident. Not as much on open threes, but still, it was like all these pieces are there and the team is really gelling.
Definitely.
And now, I personally, it feels like that's kind of that feels so long ago.
Yeah, 100%. And the starters, like, they don't look cohesive right now.
Mm-mm.
And
there the bench looks amazing.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And there are some real issues. I mean, obviously Avery Bradley net negative. John Cooperman saying Bradley needs to get yelled at. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
But you obviously him not being able to score and having some issues defensively, I gotta be honest, I don't think he's as solid as we were all told.
No. And he's also not as solid as every announcing team, be it Ralph, be it the radio guys, really gasses Bradley up. They referred to him as 100%. One of the best defenders in the league last night. He's not.
I just don't agree with that.
He's not at all.
I mean, we played Drew Holiday last night, who I think is a way better defensive guard and 100%. Can still score.
And offensively.
And is a great facilitator.
If you're new to the pod, we ran through a comparison of Seth Curry versus Avery Bradley. Seth Curry in every single stat.
In every single stat is
blowing
is
him out of the water.
Yeah, his per 36 numbers make Avery Bradley look like a clown.
It makes us. And we're not saying we should get Seth. Trust me, we tried to figure out the situation. We can't really get Seth Curry. But that's what we're going. His defensive rating is better. His just everything is better. We know those stats aren't all encompassing of a player plays. We know there's some eye test stuff.
Yeah.
Bradley does not pass whatever eye test.
Yeah. And just going off of like some of our inefficiencies on the starting unit. Tobias has also he's not able to create his own shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not able to facilitate. And I think so when you add in all these pieces that aren't really working, I think, you know, you're seeing the reason why our starters are routinely getting outscored by 20 points, 30 points, sometimes more.
Gallo is the only person in the starting lineup playing up to a max contract.
I agree.
100%.
I agree.
Like, his effort, he's the MVP of this team right now. Actually, maybe Trez is, but in terms of offensive and leaning on somebody, Gallo is that guy. He hit a 4-point play last night to give us the lead, which
it was huge,
mind blowing. But there's just inconsistency from Tobias. Like, I've just never seen someone score 21 points in such a quiet way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I've said this before, like, he kind of disappears into the background. And I think it's because he doesn't necessarily have that killer instinct. He doesn't really have the ability to make people around him better.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, that's what separates a good player from, you know, an all-star.
Yeah. From a max guy. Should we talk about the center issue?
Yeah.
So do you think we're going to address it before the 7th?
I think if we want to make any noise in the playoffs, we have to do something.
I agree. Do you think the goal is to make noise in the playoffs? Do you think we're just trying to get in there?
I think we might need to address it to get into the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. You thinking Vooch?
I don't think Vooch is going to be the. I mean, I think Vooch would be great. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we're end up able to make that trade.
Yeah, we're not gonna. I don't think we're gonna get rid of Jerome.
No, and if the other Lopez, not the one I want, is on is on the board. I mean,
the bastard Lopez.
He could, you know, he could potentially be an answer.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
you know, who knows?
Maybe something in the works? No, we don't know. We definitely need to address it. Mike Scott, not a center, though. He went 1-for-1 last night.
Yeah.
He made his 1 3-point shot.
Yeah, definitely.
Which maybe that'll get the ball rolling.
And but he only played 5 minutes. You know, he's another guy who's, like, who's, you know, made some mistakes and just, like, seen a huge minutes reduction. And I think that that, you know, it's not going to help anything. Obviously, he's been in kind of a long shooting slump.
For sure.
When yeah, shooters, sometimes you got to play through stuff, man.
Yeah, you got to give him the rhythm. Like, it's not an on-off switch. You're not going to be like, oh, you're bad. All right, we'll take a seat. And then when I bring you back out, you're just magically going to be good again.
Definitely.
If you're a shooting guy.
Although I will say if Ty Wall is getting more minutes due to Mike Scott playing less, I'm all for it.
Yeah, which that was encouraging from last night. Doc said Ty Wall is going to get some more minutes. Ty Wall might be up there with, like, he might be our fourth best player this year.
Yeah.
Like, right now.
Yeah.
Like, which doesn't sound like he's that high up on the list, but for a guy who makes not that much money.
Definitely.
And a dude who has been effective the last 2.5 weeks or whatever it is, it's been amazing. Although they give Bradley a ridiculously long leash, they do.
Yeah.
We don't understand Bradley
really
leash.
Sure. I don't understand it.
Every single answer Doc gives is a cop-out.
Yeah.
He's unstatable. If I asked the other guard, he would say take him off.
I just
the
don't
court.
See how, like, contested field goals, like, made is not, I mean, it's 100% statable. You're defending somebody, they're scoring.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy stat to figure out. And also, if everyone else is scoring, you're also not playing good defense.
Yeah.
Because you're not helping out the other guys.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating. If we lose to the Jazz and the Warriors, that's going to be, what, a 5-game losing streak?
Yeah.
After that, we go Spurs, not a guaranteed win.
No.
Mavs, not a guaranteed win.
No, not guaranteed for sure.
You know what I mean? Heat and Bulls, that's nice.
Those are close.
We got those coming up. But this does feel like a situation. Do you think the way Doc responds to this next week and a half is going to be pretty pivotal for us making the playoffs, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that a switch in lineups would have been the difference last night? Like, do you think that this is personnel error, or do you think that this is possibly, you know, the error of the scheme or the error of what we were rolling out?
I think it was the error of what we were rolling out.
Okay.
Because he went, 6-for-19?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen a lot of times.
No.
But it really did kind of show the over-reliance we have on Lou.
Yeah.
19
shots
is a lot.
You're saying that it's scheme or personnel?
Personnel.
Personnel. Okay.
I guess both. The scheme of the personnel, of us having to rely on Lou so much.
Yeah, definitely.
It sucked. And
coaching error.
I don't know if it's a coaching error, too, because AD is also AD.
Yeah.
So it's like, if this was a random center who was doing this, then it would be a coaching error. But it is AD. He's a top 3 player in the league. So, yeah, I don't know. He didn't. It felt like in maybe the, what was the game before the Pistons?
I cannot recall. Here,
anyway, it felt like that game he got a little outcoached.
Yeah.
This game, it didn't feel like he got outcoached.
Oh, that was the Nuggets game.
Yeah, it felt like in the Nuggets game he got a little outcoached.
I agree. Mike Malone is a better coach.
Mike Malone is a better coach. But this one just felt like we relied too much on Lou a little bit. And Tobias just needs to really figure it out.
And just talking to lineups, someone commented earlier that the lineup of Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Ty Wallace, Tobias Harris, and Montrezl Harrell was electric. 100% agree. This lineup ended up playing the third most with only around 6 minutes. However, they finished with the best plus minus of any lineup at 11.
Damn.
And scored about 18 points in that under 6 minute period.
That's unbelievable.
So I just don't know why we didn't see more of this lineup. When things are working, I don't know why we're not just using them instead of going back to the starters or going back to, like, these guys that, you know, we kind of know what we're going to get out of them.
For sure. Yeah, that's what's nice. Like, the tinkering is cool to see that Doc is doing with some of these lineups.
But it's not cool when the starting lineup is still averaging double the amount of minutes as the lineups that are clearly more effective.
Absolutely. And it's almost, it just goes back, we said it yesterday, it seems like we're getting a little too cute with the percentages and the lineups and stuff. Like, like this lineup worked so well, and then we just stopped.
Yeah.
Or the meatball lineup works great in small samples, and then we just never see it again.
100%.
For whatever reason. And it's like, just kind of commit a little more to these changes.
I agree.
If you're going to put them in, 6 minutes is a joke if a lineup is doing this well.
Yeah.
Man, frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Should we get into a little bit of NBA talk?
Yeah, sure. Let's jump in.
All right. So, the Mavs want to trade DSJ.
Yeah.
Seems like a good call on their part.
It does. He doesn't really fit in. He's not that great of a compliment next to Luka. It doesn't really make that much sense to keep him.
Get the most value.
Got to get the most value. I don't know what you're really getting for Dennis Smith.
I think the Suns would maybe give up too much.
The Suns are interested. I think that that's somewhat interesting of a prospect. I don't know.
It'd be fun to watch offensively.
I never thought of Dennis Smith as being like an out-of-this-world facilitator or something. No. So like, I don't really know what he adds necessarily to the Suns' bottom line.
More scoring. He's like an okay defender.
Yeah. He's undersized.
Yeah. People try and talk about how he's like been a better spot-up shooter, and it's like, well, he just hasn't.
Than his rookie season.
Yeah, like last year.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
When all he did was dunk, that's great. All right. Okay, so branching off, we play the Jazz on Wednesday. They beat the Pistons.
Yeah.
194. Donovan Mitchell had 28. Blake Griffin had 19. Man, where was that 19 points when we played you, you SOB? Ingles had an off night. Wow, still finished with 13-4-8.
Someone's saying DSJ jumps high. Yeah, I mean,
he does jump high, though.
Dude's crazy athletic.
How worried are you about the Jazz on Wednesday?
I am very worried.
I'm worried about Gobert.
The Jazz are playing so hot.
The eighth seed. They're a game behind us right now in the eighth seed.
I'm hoping that he who should not be named can lock down on Donovan Mitchell.
Bradley?
Avery Bradley, yeah.
I like that. Bradley's now Voldemort on this podcast. We're calling him he should not be named. I hope he can, too. I don't know if he will, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd rather see Beverly. Is any indication, no.
I'd rather see Beverly on him.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'd rather see Shea on him.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather see literally anybody on him. But yeah, so if we lose to the Jazz, I think we just flip spots. I think we go to the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Or we're tied. We're in like a big jumble mess, like 5, 6, 7, 8, I think, are right around a half game of each other.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're stuck there. I don't know, man. The season is just wearing on, and we have such a hard stretch of games to bookend this season.
That's what I think people are kind of forgetting, is that it's like the start was so hard, but our end, we have the worst kind of schedule, in my opinion, which is the bookended hard schedule.
Yeah, and then like I think that it sucks in the middle when you're playing a bunch of easy games, because I think that you develop bad habits, and I think that you, you end up losing focus, and you give up some easy games, which has definitely been our case. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I was hoping that we'd be able to establish hold on to ideally that five spot, so we could establish like a pretty good record going into that last brutal stretch.
Mm-hmm. Couple more quick scores for you. Our sister team, the Kings, shout out to our sisters, torched the Blazers 115-107. Buddy Hield led with 19. Fox had 16-2-9. And Bagel netted 12 boards.
That's a weird autocorrect.
I like that.
11 boards, though, for the Bagel.
The Bagster. Lillard had 35-3-5.
Insane.
Jesus. McCollum shot 14%. Finished with 6 points.
Only got to the line once.
That's not good.
Which I think if you're like,
If
you're that kind of player, if you're that kind of backcourt, that's not great. Gortat slays somebody.
Yeah. Los Angeles Clipper favorite Seth Curry held it down with 5-1-2.
Better than Avery Bradley.
Better than Avery Bradley. You want to do the Spurs one?
Yeah, sure. So the Spurs got stung by the Hornets.
Look out.
108-93. Charlotte was led by Kemba Walker's insane 33 points. It auto-corrected to Kabob Walker, which is pretty funny. He went 13 of 27, including 7 of 13 from 3.
Damn.
Which is nuts. Jeremy Lamb, their other starting guard, added 19-7-2. LaMarcus Aldridge.
God damn, he's having such a great year.
So nuts. He added 28-10-4. DeMar had 14-5-5. Pretty solid. I'm just happy the Spurs lost. To be honest, I am just hoping for every other Western Conference team to lose while we're playing the way we're playing right now.
I agree. Someone just said, be nice. I'm not sure what that's in relation to. I mean, I guess it's good advice. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we're about out of time here.
Thank you guys for tuning on the live stream. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening out there, please rate, comment, subscribe on iTunes. Huge help for us.
Please.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.